Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Aquarius Abite is our guest today. He's been to prison. He's getting himself turned around. We're going to tap him for some information that he might have that we could use in our reintegration as well. Aquarius Abite, right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Love to get emails from people, so send them on. Let me know how you're doing, okay? You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Aquarius Abite. He shares a prison experience with us, and he did 14 years, and he's written a soon-to-be-released book, We All Can Change, Escaping the Prison We Create. He told me that he has some expertise and relevant info for Journey of Hope, and I'm going to certainly give him a chance to convey that to us and to let us know how to get things turned around, because it sounds like he's done it. So we want to get whatever advice we can from him. Welcome, Aquarius.
Thank you for having me.
Listen, I first off want to just tell you that I get it, man. I understand, and all of us listening understand this, you know, what people go through when they come out of incarceration. And unfortunately, some people don't make it, you know? And you're one of the ones that has. And so I did too, by God, I'm proud to say. So why don't you start off just giving us a little bit of your background, a little bit of your history, and we'll go from there.
Well, actually, I did 14 years in prison, 14 years and a few months, for 86 armed robberies. I was arrested December 28, 1984, and I was released April 1st, 1999. I was just a lost little kid, didn't have any direction, misguided, and just things like that. So that's what led me to be lost and end up in a place where lost people end up.
Dude, did you do 86 robberies?
Man. 86.
Shame on you. Shame on you. You're not in Texas because, hey, man, I'll tell you, you did that in Texas, you'd still be in prison. I mean,
if I would have did that in the 90s or 2000s, I mean, I couldn't have got away with it back then because in the 90s or 2000s because of cell phones. The only reason I was able to get away is because no cameras, no cell phones.
Right.
So nobody would take pictures of me.
Right. Now everybody's got you on YouTube as soon as you do something. No, I'm just teasing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but,
yes,
you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So you get out of, you're in California, right? That's where it
said.
Okay. So you get out of prison, and were you in California where you did your time? Is that where you did your time?
Yes. I did my time in the state. Yeah, state of California.
Okay. And how old were you when you were incarcerated?
I got arrested when I was 23 and got out when I was 38.
Man, that's a chunk. And I know things had changed, right? You know, things had changed.
When I got out, the cars looked like spaceships. It looked alien to me.
I know. There's a lot. I came back to the same area that I lived in, and my gosh, it had changed so much. I did 10 years, and that was enough time to notice things that had changed. The cars jumped out at me.
Yes.
You know what else jumped out at me is how hard it was to get a freaking job. How did you handle that? I know from reading about you what you did eventually for 17 years, but I think you were like
14.
long haul trucking?
Oh, 17, yes, absolutely. Yeah. I drove trucks for 17 years.
How did you get that job? We want to know how you got that job. How did you get that job?
Unfortunately for me, the laws were different when I got out. So when I got out in 1999, they were asking you, have you been convicted of a crime in the last 3 years? And I had not. So that's what I put on there. And then right. they started doing, have you been convicted in the last 7 years? And there was still no. Right. So the time that I did actually was a benefit to me when I got out. Mm-hmm. If I would have just did, 2 years or something and I put on an application, yes, I had to admit that I committed a crime.
Okay, so I know it's been a long time, but one of the things we talk about here occasionally is, do you remember, even though that you didn't have to check, that you had committed a crime, do you remember if they ask you about that missing block of time, like that 14 years, like how come there's nothing? Where did you work then?
Actually, my first job that when I got out was for Goodwill. Isn't that ironic, right? So
yeah.
I drove a bobtail truck for them, and they didn't care about my time.
Helping
people.
They don't.
So
they don't
care. I got my start there, and then when I got a little experience driving trucks, because I didn't have enough. See, the thing was, when I started driving trucks, they were like, well, you need 2 years experience. So you got your license, but you need experience. So how do you get experience if no one allows you to? So I went to Goodwill. I did the Class B driving for a year. And I had I was graced because I had put in an application for this union company, and they had to actually hire someone. So I was hired on the spot, and I lied on my application. But then when they found out, they said it was no big deal.
You got lucky because I know stories that didn't go that way when, I know some personal stories where, that didn't turn out too well.
It's. I knew I was going to be a truck driver 5 years before I got out because the correction officer said, Rory, Aquarius, you should be thinking about driving trucks. So I'm looking at the paper for 5 years before my release. And so when I got out, that's all that was on my mind. So,
hey, did Goodwill help you get your commercial license or whatever it is you needed?
Absolutely not. I actually was looking for months for aid. And finally, after giving up and I enrolled in junior college, I had got this message saying that we found a grant for you. And so there's another blessing. Because I didn't have $4,000.
Let me stop you right there, Aquarius, because I want to point a couple of things out to our listeners. Yep. Okay, here's what I've seen so far. That you get out and you started hustling. You work for Goodwill. You did what you needed to do. You got your commercial license. You ended up landing a good job driving trucks, and you kept working toward that goal of a good job. You didn't give up, it sounds like, or did you? Am I missing that part?
No, I did not. I mean, the universe works this way. I mean, when you start moving forward in the direction you want to go, it's going to show you the way, because like I said, I had no idea how I was going to be a trucker. Mm-hmm. But when you start moving that direction, you start getting answers. You start asking questions. How do I become a trucker? You need $4,000. Where can I get $4,000? So
right.
I start going to these places that give grants.
Oh, really? So
$4,000
was for the commercial license, or?
No, well, they were giving grants for education.
Oh, I see.
For skills.
Right.
Yeah, so I was looking for, so that went into that group right there because I wanted to be a truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like paying for schooling.
Okay, let's move on just a little bit. And by the way, congratulations on, the work that you did during that time. It paid off. So you get out of prison. Another thing that we would be interested in is, where did you live? How did you find a place to live? And how did that go? Tell us about that.
Well, actually, when I got out, after doing 14 years, about being on the yard and running on the track and all that stuff. So
right.
I had to adjust, reacclimate myself again. I didn't leave my porch for a whole month because I was so paranoid that somebody would call up and say, hey, there was a robbery in the area, and I fit the description, and then they come looking for me. So I never left the porch. And when I did leave, I left with the witness.
You know what is interesting? I just thought about this when you were telling me that. When I first came home, every time I saw a police car, when I was driving, especially if they were behind me, I'm like, oh my God, they've run my plate. They know who I am and they're watching me. And you know what? Yeah. Maybe they weren't. I don't know. But it took me a while to get past that, That's something I've never really heard anybody bring up before. But yeah, man, I was kind of paranoid. I can relate to that. It took me a while to get used to police cars being around me, I guess.
Yes,
I get that, Aquarius. I get it.
You're hearing keys. Your mother's hearing keys, and you're thinking it's a correction officer. The only correction officer has keys.
Or you hear a walkie-talkie. That gets me. I think that still gets me. Okay, so I don't know. Did we resolve the question how you found a place to live? How did you do that?
Oh, well, actually I moved in with my mom. Actually, I was blessed enough to get married twice while during my incarceration.
Okay.
So both wives left me before I was released. And then when I got out, I didn't have any place to go, but I stayed with my mother for a little while. And then I did the voucher thing in the hotels where, you know, because I was too old to be living with my mother and, you know, being by herself for so long, and it was just a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved out because I didn't want any more disturbances, you know. Mm-hmm. And I went to my parole officer, and he gave me vouchers. But the thing I wanted to bring up is, like, you have to, like, believe in what you want to do. And just, if you have direction and you know your destination, nobody can stop you. Because when I got out, my parole officer told me, I told him I wanted to be a truck driver. He laughed at me and said, I should go get a job at the car wash.
Shit. Yeah. Hey, man, I actually worked at a car wash when I was on parole, and it lasted about 4 days.
Yeah.
That's about, oh, my God. I couldn't handle it, man. It was, yeah. I got fired from a car wash. That's one of my accomplishments in life. I got fired from a car wash.
Were you directed to work there by your parole officer?
No, oh, okay. They wanted me to get a job, so I'm like the first thing that popped up, and so, actually, I went through 3 or 4 of those kinds of jobs when I first came home. I think we can all relate to that kind of stuff. So, at some point, Aquarius, you were able to gather your thoughts as you were eventually hired as a long-haul trucker, and I don't know where I'm getting long haul. Am I making that up, or is that true?
No. That's exactly it. I was a long haul. I was traveled over, what is it, about 42 states. And when I got convicted, I got on the bus. You know how you're getting on the bus, and they have your paperwork there telling you how much time you got, or knowing how much time you got, and all this, and what prison you're going to.
Right.
I was getting on the bus, and the correctional officer told me, you have enough time to watch a sunset in a magazine. And that's always stuck with me. And now that I've been out for over 20 years, it's kind of like, it's like I've watched sunsets in over, you know, 40 states. I've watched sunsets in Hawaii. I mean, it's like, I don't know why it stuck with me, but it bothered me. And now it's kind of like I laugh at it because I'm out here watching sunsets.
I think, you can take a crappy ass comment like that and make it work in your favor, which is what you did. Yeah. Is you used it to your advantage to motivate you. And what an excellent example of a technique that we could all use to take something like that and turn it and use it as motivation. But at some point in your journey as a trucker, you, I guess, started to gather these thoughts, and at some point you came to the realization that you wanted to write a book. So tell us about how does that thinking work? How did you come to that?
You know, we're out here in this world and there's so much negativity. That's all we know. That's how we ended up where we ended up, is because of what we were listening to, what we were feeding ourselves, what we let others feed us. And so what happened was, after years, maybe 7 or 8 years of being a truck driver, I got tired of feeling pain inside, because all that stuff is painful. When you hate someone, you know, you have to hurt yourself before you hurt someone else. It doesn't work that way. You can't, you know, give pain from a place of love. You can't do it. You can't, you know, and you can't give love from a place of pain. So I got tired of hurting. And so I got tired of listening to all this negativity. You know how, as a trucker, we listen to a lot of politics, talk radio, sports, and it's all negativity. Mm-hmm. And then one day I got in the truck before I was going to take off from home time. I decided I didn't want to listen to any more negativity. So I started listening to gospel music. It doesn't have to be gospel music for you, but you have to change what you're listening to, you know? You really do. You have to change what you feed. You want to lose weight, you have to change what you feed. So you want to stop feeling bad, you have to change what you're listening to, what you're watching.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I bet that, now, were you alone in the truck during those years?
Solo driver, yes.
And I would imagine that, first of all, you get a pretty good education listening to the talk radio all the time. I mean,
I listened to a lot of self-help audio books too.
Oh, did you?
Audio books. Audio books. Yes.
Cool. So you were productive with that time while you were making money, which is good. Okay, so you decided, now is your book self-published or do you have a publisher?
We're still working on that. I'm still in the process right now. I just have, I'm using a ghostwriter. We're not at that stage yet, but it's definitely coming out next year. And so, and then I was able to, you know, it's about just believing in what you're doing and just heading that way and help. God always sends help. But in the end, we have to save ourselves.
Okay.
You know, he's going to send you help, but you have to save yourself.
That's right. That's right. It really comes down to us and what we motivate ourselves to do. And Aquarius, what would you like to say to ex-offenders that have just come home? This is your chance to say something to a few of them anyway. What would you like to tell them today?
You know that old cliche, keep your eye on the prize and all that kind of stuff. And,
yeah.
And if you have to do what you need to do in order to do what you want to do. You have to pick a destination. You have to figure out what you want to do, what you want to be. But there's a process while we're collecting information on finding out what we want to do. You have to stay out there long enough to figure it out. And so once you find your destination or your desired, you know, direction, there's nobody that can stop you because you don't have time to focus on what they're saying because you're focused on your destination.
Okay. Do you have a website or can you tell us where the book's going to be available when it finally comes out? Some information where we could be pointed to find out more about you. Do you have something like that?
Yes. It's aquariusabai@gmail.com, and I'm offering for anyone that wants to the first chapter of my book, We All Can Change, Escaping the Prisons We Create, and it's aquariusabai@gmail.com.
All right. Sounds good. I want to thank my guest today, Aquarius Abai. Remember, he's going to have a book coming out for too long called We All Can Change, Escaping the Prison We Create. Aquarius, thanks for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Interested in any ideas that you might have about guests we can have on the show or topics about reintegration, that maybe some things that you've experienced, whatever it is that has to do with reintegration that you want to share, let me know about it. We'll talk about it. It's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. It's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Hello, I want to thank my special guest today, Aquarius Abai, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.